In March, we're airing programs that were rated the best last year, and today's program is one of them.
Rosebush smells weakness, and to the rosebush child, the pine tree parent can seem weak. Just because they are not harsh, just because they don't speak fast, just because they don't enter into the fight but avoid the conflict, the child erroneously assumes, I'm stronger than you.
I'm an authority.
I'm the boss. And they will say that, and this will hurt the sensitive pine because they're all about the relationship. And the roses figure this out very quickly, and they'll use it to manipulate the pine tree parent by saying, I hate you, I want a new mommy.
We know that God made us unique individuals, but there's a definite truth that human temperaments can be classified, usually into four categories. This doesn't negate our individuality, but as our guest Hetty Brits will describe on the program today, those temperament classifications can help us to understand ourselves and our families better. This broadcast was recorded a few years ago as we were about to embark on a tour of parenting events with Hetty, which we called Hope for Every Home. Let's go now to that recorded conversation.
Alison, you and I know that parenting isn't a walk in the park. And sometimes we'll see that family that has three perfect kids and it seems as though they are the perfect parents. But the truth is there are no perfect parents. We're all just trying to do the best we can. And sometimes we can feel as though that's not enough and we can start to lose hope. Here at Focus, we want to offer that hope and that encouragement. Yeah.
You're right, Graham. And who better to help us do that than longtime friend of Focus, Hetty Brits. Hetty's an author, international speaker, and one of South Africa's foremost voices in parenting advice. Welcome back to Focus on the Family, Hetty.
Thank you, Alison. Thank you, Graham. It's lovely to be back.
Well, it's great to have you, Hetty. And Hetty, we're going to be running some seminars around the country, and we're calling the seminar Hope for Every Home, From Unnatural to Supernatural Parenting. And we're saying unnatural because I think all of us as parents sometimes feel like we don't know what we're doing. We're not perfect at parenting, or at least certain aspects of parenting can seem unnatural. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely. There are things where we just look at parents and they do it with their pinky and I'm thinking, I have two hands and I can't do it. I really need supernatural help.
You talk about different parenting styles. And some styles that come naturally and some that don't. What are the different parenting styles? What is natural?
Usually when we think of parenting styles, we think of somebody who's very permissive or somebody who would negotiate everything. Mm-hmm. And we think it's all learned. But there are some aspects to our parenting style that's actually inborn. Some people are natural nurturers and we see it long before they become a parent. They bring back the bird with a broken wing. They gather all the stray animals.
Yes.
And from there, they just go into parenting and they act the same way with their babies. That's why people always laughingly say, you know, before you get kids, first try a plant and then try a dog and see if you can do this nurturing thing. So you have these natural nurturers and then you have natural disciplinarians. Mm. People who can say no to a child if the child cries, they don't fall apart. And those nurturers look at these disciplinarians and they go, where's your heart?
Yeah.
And at the same time, I wish I had that strength.
Yeah.
So there are many ways to talk about these styles, but because I believe at the core it comes from our personality, I like to link up the parenting styles, how we nurture, how we discipline, how we mentor. I like to link that with the temperament styles that I've researched. Yeah. So
there's not a right or a wrong way. When you start off by saying the nurturer versus the disciplinarian, it's not right versus wrong.
Not at all, because God does all of that. He has a manna and the water from the rock and the quails, and then he also has the law, and he has the earth opening up and swallowing the disobedient ones. And so the disciplinarian can breathe easy and go, well, at least I haven't done that, have I? So God does the nurturing, he does the discipline, he does the mentoring. He also has the friendship with those of us who've come a ways with him, we'll know that all of those parenting aspects are built into a relationship where you grow somebody from babyhood to adulthood. So all of them, it's more a matter of timing. And the beautiful thing is when I understand my style, I'll understand why were the baby days so easy for me, but I'm struggling now to let my child go. My adult child is leaving the home. Or discipline was easy for me, but man, the nurturing, I just felt bogged down by the nurturing. So it's often just kind of an out of sync thing with my natural parenting style and the phase my child is in.
You talk about temperament, but before we go into that, and we are going to go into that, how much does experience play into this, as in your own upbringing and what you learned maybe from your own parents? How does that play into the kind of the style of parenting you adopt?
I believe it has a huge impact. If we got hurt as kids and we felt we were misunderstood and we felt discipline did not match our personality and our needs, then we often tend to do the exact opposite to what our parents did. So you decide, I'm not going to do time out because I felt so rejected by that. Yeah. Or I'm not going to be so overprotective. I'm going to give my kids more space. And the opposite happens. People say, my parents were amazing and I had such a happy childhood. And we all, you know, me and my siblings all turned out well. I don't know who these people are, but maybe it's your family. And they go, so I'm going to copy paste from mom and dad. Yeah. Exactly the same thing. So yes, we do. And sometimes we haven't had no model and then we latch onto a certain ministry or a certain book or a certain speaker and we say, they have it figured out. Or we look at that perfect family you refer to and we pitch up with our notebook and we go, what are you doing? Let me just try this. And the sad thing and the good news, all bundled into one, is my family is not your family. Yeah. Copy-paste is not going to work. Some children don't need a bunch of nurturing. Surprise! Yeah. There are kids who don't need to be fussed over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are those kids who discipline themselves, who don't need such a strict environment. And because God does that design, plus your design, and He knows where this family is going, there's no point in looking at the family next door and copy-pasting from their life.
Yeah. So true, yeah. So, Hetty, okay, if that's something that we've learned and that's our parenting style and we kind of take that in, then talk to us more about what is our temperament style got to do with it then? Because you seem to think temperament plays an even bigger role perhaps, or at least as much of a role in it.
It does, because that's our knee-jerk parenting. Because remember, I can have the author that I respect talking in the background, but you know, in the hot water, I'm going to do what comes naturally for me. Yeah. And what comes naturally for me is my temperament style. So maybe let's use your typical parenting hotspots, like mealtime. We're going to do four M's, like mealtime, meltdown time, math time. Yeah. No meltdowns. No. Perfect kids, no meltdowns, perfect parents, you know, to de-escalate, deflect, and all of that very effectively. Okay, and then, so the mealtime will be, say, the baby days, and then meltdown in the preschool years, and then math time as a metaphor for the school years, and then marriage, when you send off that child into the real world, and they're going to start their own family. Now, if we start with the one personality type that I describe as the pine trees, these are the really cool and calm parents. I have 0% pine tree in my parenting style. So these are the parents I envy. So let me talk about them first.
You guys need to chill out.
Yeah, if people tell me to chill out, they are on thin ice. So the pine trees are naturally nurturing. So mealtime would mean this is usually the breastfeeding mom. This is If the pine tree dads are the ones who love making the bottles, preparing, nurturing, being with that baby on their chest. I always envision this dad with a sleeping baby on his chest and the contentment on both faces. And they are so okay with spending a lot of time in that space of nurturing. They're not going anywhere. The pine trees are anchored. They're at peace. They usually have a very steady pace. So mealtime is not drama.
Okay.
But now fast forward to the toddler years, and now the ones who go, it's really not worth the fuss to try and get him to eat his veggies. Let it go. Very easygoing parent here. So the meltdown, same rule goes. let's just keep the peace, because that's what they are to the core, peacemakers. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to go into the fight and the meltdown. They're going to de-escalate the situation. They'll give the snack. They'll often give in to the manipulation because they don't like the drama. Mm-hmm. So this is a way of least resistance kind of a parent. But in the process, a wonderful strength of them comes into play. They really read their children well, and they see the signs before the meltdown occurs, and they go the other way. They see, okay, things are getting a little hairy. Let's remove you from the social circle. Let's go home early. Let's do snack time. You know, so that's also a gift. That's a gift to be able to do
and
that.
And they are relationship focused, am I?
Oh, correct? Very much. Yeah. So they will send a personal message very often in that situation, like, you're making mommy sad now, by the way, you're doing this. So they use the relationship currency to influence the behavior. They won't say, the rule is we don't do this. That's not how they communicate. They go, look at that friend's face. Look how sad he is now. This is what happens when you act this way. So in that meltdown, in the sibling rivalry, they will often refer to what's your impact on somebody else, because that's what is important to them. So they guard the heart of their children. They are not harsh in discipline ever. And then when it's school, let's say the math time thing, and it's afternoon, they themselves probably need to take a little bit of a rest. So if their child will say, can I first just play before I do my homework, they're the most likely parent to say, of course, you know, we can't work all the time. We need to have some time, some downtime. And they will probably not mind if the child does some of the homework lying on the bed, because that's probably what they did. So they won't have this military camp style going on. Very low-key. If somebody else can do the math, if they can get a tutor, if maybe, you know, we can just have an extra lesson with the teacher. For them, they don't always take on all the responsibility. They're very good at seeing, maybe this is not my area. My husband's very much a pine, and he will often say, I don't think I have a mandate.
Oh, really?
And then what that means is, I don't feel like doing this. This is really
somebody
my job.
Somebody else's job.
Click a little bit. But what these parents are really good at is that phase when the kids leave the house. They are not... they are clingy in a not so obvious way. They're not pushy clingy. Yeah. They really love the connection. They want their kids to be home, and because they've created such a safe and warm place, their kids tend to come back.
Okay.
And spend family times there.
So of the mealtime, meltdown, math and marriage, what's the greatest challenge? Is it the meltdown? That's the challenge.
Hands down.
Okay.
Hands down.
And bring in the different personalities or temperaments of the children as well, because obviously you've got a parent who's a pine tree, but then you've got three different kids and their different temperaments. Who are they going to have the greatest challenge with in terms of the temperament of their children?
Very often the rosebush child, because the rosebush smells weakness, and to the rosebush child the pine tree parent can seem weak. Just because they are not harsh, just because they don't speak fast, just because they don't enter into the fight but avoid the conflict, the child erroneously assumes, I'm stronger than you.
I'm an authority. I'm
the boss. And they will say that. And this will hurt the sensitive pine, because they're all about the relationship. And the roses figure this out very quickly, and they'll use it to manipulate the pine tree parent by saying, I hate you. I want a new mommy. And that is devastating to the pine. Just to add that the math time's not much easier, because exerting pressure on a child to actually do more, to take responsibility, doesn't come naturally for the pine either. So they will rescue these children often from consequences, because they don't want to see their child in pain. So the school years are also tough.
I would imagine that in that case, the math time, probably the pine does better with the rose, because the rose bush is achieving on their own and doesn't need
you're so situation. Right. Yeah, and there it is, the boxwood. That's a challenge, because the boxwood is a little bit anxious. The boxwood is that perfectionist child, the teacher's pet, who, you know, comes back with their homework and feels like it's so much work and I'm never going to make it. And the pine tree has no understanding of why this is such a big deal, because things aren't a big deal to the pine trees mostly. Exactly. Do you have a little bit of pine? Graham has such insight into this personality. So the anxiety and the fuss and the stress So they will often interfere with this box with academic progress and say, no more studying today. Switch off your light now. Sleep now. And it will make the boxwood even more anxious because you don't understand how important this is and I just want to achieve.
Okay. And the boxwood is the lolly because I know
we've talked about lolly as well.
So lolly and boxwood is the same.
Well, anything that can be pruned into any shape you like because that's what
like. The perfect little picture of perfection.
Do you want to tell us more about the boxwood?
Let's take the boxwood parent through these phases. They're all tough for the simple reason. I'm boxwood, so I can identify with that. For the boxwood, it's always about doing it the right thing. So when you start with the baby days, it is, am I feeding too much? Am I breastfeeding long enough? Is bottle that much worse? Is breast that much better? What if my child has allergies? So there's a lot of fear often of not doing it exactly right. Mm-hmm. But for everybody watching, they're just spectacular because they're always prepared. They have that extra bottle. They know everything. They're a walking encyclopedia of good nutrition. And so they intimidate the other parents with all this knowledge and this preparedness. But on the inside, it's, oh my goodness, I hope I did this right. And now there's this new book I have, and everything has just changed on me. Now it's soy is not good, you know, or now breast milk isn't all that unless you're very healthy. Now I need to start over. So there's a lot of insecurity often. And if they know this, and you can, because I always look a lollipop or a box with mom in the eye and I say, one thing, I don't even need to know what you're doing, but one thing I can tell you is you are doing better than you think. Is that a given with the box?
Comparison, is that something that comes into play majorly with the boxers?
Very much. They're so aware of the audience watching and that other mom. They're constantly screening, and that's why the meltdown is the ultimate devastation because my child isn't behaving perfectly and I cannot control this child. And because control's very important in detail and image management, opinion management, and nobody's going to have a good opinion of you if your child's someone who bites somebody in the preschool. Okay. And it inevitably happens to the boxwood mom that she has an out of control child. It's part of our sanctification.
Just trying to work through it.
Because if a boxwood parent has a boxwood child or lollipop where everybody fits the mold, then they get very holier than thou in the parenting. And I'm speaking from experience. I had this very sedate pine tree firstborn, and I did the boxwood parenting style, so I did everything by the book, and she responded in kind. And I looked at the other parents and thought, what's so hard about this? But then child two did not want to do it the boxwood way. Humility and more wisdom sets in. So the meltdown time, they are just trying to find the system that works. What's the discipline trick? How do I get this kid out of this? How do I just stop the shame of the of this moment?
When I think of that title, Hope for Every Home, from Unnatural to Supernatural, I think I picture the boxwood because I think it's often that parent that's feeling the hopelessness because they're already preparing for university when the child is three, and they're comparing with the Joneses next door. Absolutely. And they're measuring up.
And they're perfectionists. And so they just never seem to be measuring up. Yeah.
Very hard on themselves.
How do you, what do you say to that as a boxwood? How do you challenge the boxwood?
Apart from that, you're doing better than you think. Yeah. The second phrase I often use on them is, it's less up to you than you think. And there's a releasing that about what God can do, but also the role other people and other experience outside of your home will play in your child's growing up and getting everything that they need.
I like the phrase for parenting, don't take all the credit, don't take all the blame.
Exactly. So good. And both apply to the lollipop / boxwood very beautifully.
Well, let's move on to the next tree. What do you want to tackle next?
Let's talk about those happy-go-lucky palm trees. Yes. That's another parent we envy. We look at them. They seem to go through all of these phases with a smile on their face. They feed those babies. They love playing with them. But they're also fast, so they don't look like they're bogged down by anything. When in reality, very often, they feel like they've lost their freedom. So it's this dad who was used to going out with his friends, he was used to doing his action cricket over the weekend, he stayed up late at night, he watched, you know, movies and had a lot of fun. Now suddenly his wife tells him, listen, tonight you get up for the baby, duty. And it's, what's going on now? Where's my life? So for the palm tree, the shock of the impact of a baby on your mobility. I mean, the palm tree is an impulsive person. So they're in bed already and they go, hey, wait, it's the last day of that movie showing. We didn't see it. It's we can great. Still make the late show. And they fly out of bed and they put on their slacks and they want to go watch this movie and now they can't.
Yeah.
And now packing the baby back takes half an hour.
Getting baby getting ready for anything.
Shoes on the four kids. And they go, why do we have a creche? We have so many babies. Yeah. So it's that. It's just that life is now suddenly complicated and it's not as much fun until, I mean, the kids start talking back and then it's fun. And then sometimes there's a meltdown and there's a discipline moment, but the palm tree doesn't so much realize you're actually supposed to act like the parent right now. So they'll play their kids out of the situation. They'll bribe them a little bit. They'll go, oh, come on. I'm sure you don't want to scream like that because ice cream is on the other side of this tantrum. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, so they will sometimes not snap into that role of the disciplinarian in the house very easily.
Mm-hmm. And they're often the friend of the child rather than the authority.
Exactly. Because when they start enjoying the kids, they want to stay there.
Yes.
And the rule of a palm tree is thou shalt cause joy and happiness. Yeah. And now if a child needs to be disciplined, it's the opposite. So they go, I shalt not discipline because that will not cause joy. So I am going to call the other parent to come and handle this, or I'm just going to pretend it's not a big deal and see if we can just do something fun. And that's often the parenting advice you'll get from a palm tree parenting coach is you never need to be negative. You never need to be strict. You just need to connect with that child. You just need to understand more, make more contact, turn it into a game, have something motivational at the other end. And it works for a while, but there's a point at which your child needs to respond to something other than pleasing you. But respond to a principle. That for the palm tree is hard. So the discipline phase, not so much fun. And then because they probably weren't the model student in school, it's
doesn't really matter.
How important is this homework? don't you have a box with friends that you can just copy? That's what I did. So doing the schoolwork, I mean, the palm tree parents forget what day of the week it is. So to be that supportive to a student who's really serious is not always that easy. They're great cheerleaders. When a child comes home with bad marks for it on a test, they can see the best in that child, encourage them,
so they do a good job there. And they can change the atmosphere from misery and despair to joy.
So that's actually great. They can give that perspective that academics is not all it's about. And
what about letting go?
Not very great at that, actually, because they, by the time the kids are teens, they are their best friends. And that's okay for now. At some point in the late teen years, and then it's hard to see your child pick somebody else over you. And very often the palm trees will then start using subtle emotional blackmail to make sure the kids still do what pleases them and what makes them happy. But what is wonderful about that phase is that they don't have this checklist of the perfect spouse for their kids or the perfect life or you have to follow this career.
Yes.
So they usually are great at getting behind their children's dreams and their children's choices. Mm-hmm. They will see the best in that boyfriend and that girlfriend, which isn't a given with all the other parenting styles. So that's something I really admire in them. They can really embrace that unlikely person you bring home and all the grandkids, they don't tend to have favorites. They just see the best in everybody.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, Hetty, we are out of time, and we haven't even gotten through all of those temperament styles. So we've done the boxwood, the pine, and the palm tree, but we've got the rosebush to come. But we're out of time, and we would really love for you to stick with us. We'll tackle the rosebush, and then we'll move on to some of those supernatural things that we can do, where we can really partner with God and allow Him to encourage us and empower us in our parenting. Will you stick with us?
I would love to do that. Thank you
so much, Hetty. I'm sure as you listened today, you recognized either yourself or your children in the temperament styles Hetty described. What I love most about this conversation is the encouragement it brings, knowing that God designed me with a unique temperament and I don't need to make excuses for it. Instead, I can embrace the positives and find freedom in my own parenting style. In Hetty's book, Unnatural Mom, she helps you to move beyond the myths of supermom and recognize how unrealistic our culture standards of mothering are. You'll find new hope in discovering that every mother has unique gifts. You can get your copy when you call us on 031-716-3300 or find it online at safamily.co.za. Thank you for being with us today. I'm Alison Schnell for Focus on the Family Africa, inviting you to join us for the conclusion of our program with Hetty Brits tomorrow, when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.